Good morning, Buena Vista. It is so good to see you, and we are glad that you're here. We're glad that you have come to fellowship with us this morning. And would you please give these wonderful students from Campbellsville another wonderful round of applause. And we thank you all for coming and leading us in worship this morning and fellowshipping and sharing your ministry and your love for the Lord with us. If you've got your Bibles with you this morning, let's turn to the book of Job, chapter 30. The book of Job, chapter 30. We're going to be continuing on in this series of messages. Just two more messages left. This one and next Sunday. Children's church, you are dismissed, by the way. I forgot my message that I was supposed to deliver. Children's church, you are dismissed. Two messages left in this sermon series, and I have loved sharing with you these messages out of the book of Job. Looking at a story about a man who loved God and was so faithful, who is a man that was so faithful to God, who was so devoted in his life for the Lord, that when the question of "Have you looked at my servant Job?" came up, and Satan began this testing of Job, tested his persons, tested his character. We know that Job lost his 8 children. We know that Job lost all of his finances. We know that Job was afflicted physically. And here we're going to read this morning how that Job really began to feel the mental and the emotional afflictions of the struggle and the trial that he endured. And we're going to see this morning how Job really came to that breaking point. And we're going to talk about how that in the midst of our suffering and our struggles and our trials and our tribulations and the worst moments in our life, we're going to get to those points where we feel like that mentally and emotionally we're about to break. But we're also going to see how that in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our lowest of the lows, that God is still God on the throne. And He's still God Almighty and He's still God in control. Job chapter 30, verses 15 through 22. Stand with me as we give honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Here are the words that Job cried out. Starting in verse 15, he said, "Terrors are turned upon me." He says, "My honor is pursued as by the wind, and my prosperity has passed away like a cloud. And now my soul is poured out within me. Days of affliction have taken hold of me. The night racks my bones, and the pain that gnaws me takes no rest. With great force my garment is disfigured. It binds me about like a cot, like the collar of my tunic. God has cast me into the mire, and I have become like dust and ashes. I cry to you for help, and you do not answer me. I stand, and you only look at me. You have turned cruel to me. With the might of your hand, you persecute me. You lift me up on the wind. You make me ride on it. And you toss me about in the roar of the storm." You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, Father, so thankful for the worship that has already been prepared for us, Lord. I just pray that, Lord, we can continue on with the harmony and with the worship that's already begun. And Lord, Father, I pray this morning that you will take us in your Word, that we can see the agony of the heart of Job, and that, Lord, we can learn from his agony, that we can learn from his greatest moments of suffering, how that Job has now come to this point of mental exhaustion. Lord, how he cries out to you that you have persecuted him. And Lord, how that he cries out to you and you hear him not, that you only look at him. Lord, Father, I pray and I know in my heart that there are many here this morning who suffer through these very moments like Job has. Maybe not to the extent in which Job has, but Lord, we all suffer through our own storms. We all go through our difficult moments and our troubled seasons. And Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here this morning who's in the midst of that season, in the midst of that storm, I pray, Lord, that you give them the comfort in knowing that even though they suffer, that you are still God Almighty, that you are still God on the throne. Lord, I pray that in you they can find peace. And Lord, that through the midst of their suffering, they can see and understand that they can truly know You. Lord, Father, I pray today that You just grow our church, that You would make us into the body of believers that You would have us to be. Lord, I pray today that if there's somebody here who has never known You in the free pardon of sin, Lord, I pray before it's everlasting too late that they'd come, they'd give their life to You, and they'd be saved. Lord, Father, I just pray now that You use me but as a mouthpiece and as a tool and nothing more for Your honor and Your glory. Lord, I pray that You but preach me as a dying man to a lost and a dying world. Lord, Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit take hold of this service and that, Lord, we would see a true awakening amongst us as Your people. Lord, it's all this we ask in Your holy, precious name. Amen. Job has gone through so much. He's lost his children. He's lost his finances. He's lost all of his physical property. We learned several weeks ago how that Job's friends came to him and they told him, Job, these things are happening to you because of your very sinful nature. And they didn't have all of the facts straight. We know that according to the Word of God that Job was a faithful and an upright man of God. So his friends came to him and said, Job, repent of your sins. Remove this iniquity from your heart. These people that he thought were his very friends accused him of being a very sinful person when in fact he was not. We learned how that in the life of Job, Job's very own wife came to him and said, where is your integrity now, Job? Would you not curse God and die? Job has been through so much. And now we see not just the physical, not just the emotional, but really the spiritual anguish of Job as he really pours out his heart before God and before others. He went as far to say, you've become cruel to me. You use your mighty hands to persecute me. He says, I cry out to you and you answer me not. I stand and all you do is look at me. The first thing that we see from Job in his trial of suffering is this. The storms of suffering can sometimes overwhelm us. It's as plain and as simple as that. The things that we endure and the things that we go through in life sometimes become so great and the burdens become so heavy that they simply overwhelm us. That's the truth and the reality of the way that things are. Even though we can turn to God and we can pray to God and that can provide us comfort, it does not mean that in the midst of your suffering that you're not going to have moments and seasons in your life where you feel like that you possibly cannot go on. And you may be here today and you may be in a point in your life, in your relationship with God, where you are struggling so immensely that you have no idea, that you have no clue how you're possibly going to make it through this season. Maybe your family is in utter turmoil. Maybe you have lost your job and you don't know how you're going to pay your bills and make it financially. Maybe there's someone in your family who is suffering from physical disease or through an emotional or a mental disease that causes them not to be the person that you knew them wants to be. We all go through moments and seasons and difficulties and trials and tribulations, and the truth of the matter is in those, you're going to become overwhelmed. Job was at a point in his life where he was becoming overwhelmed. It's difficult. You probably think that, well, Pastor, why don't you have a message that would tell me something other than the fact that I'm going to be overwhelmed? That's just the truth. If I told you something else, it would be a lie. I'm not going to tell you that things are always going to be great, that things are always going to be perfect. I'm not going to tell you that you're going to endure difficult times, but you'll be able to bear it on the chin and keep on trucking. That's not the reality of things. Things are difficult. Seasons are hard. Sometimes we have feelings of depression. Sometimes we have feelings of desperation. Has anybody ever really been to the point of true desperation? Amen? Maybe you have not. But remember how we started out this sermon series? We started out this sermon series not even in the book of Job, but in another verse of Scripture that says, after you have suffered. Suffering is a truth, and suffering is a reality. And no matter how much you run from it, no matter how much you say it's never going to affect me, I'm never going to have to endure it, suffering is a truth. And it's something we are going to have to face. And in the midst of our suffering, we may reach that point of true desperation where we don't know where to go, we don't know where to turn, we don't know what to do. We get to that point of true desperation where we don't know what to do. I've been there in my life. There are others who can say, yeah, I've been there in my life. Maybe there are some of you today who can say, I'm right there in my life. I think about David. In Psalms chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, I think about what David said as he expressed. He says this. There we go. He says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all of the day? How long shall my enemies be exalted over me? This is David. David, a man after God's own heart, a man who had a great faith, a man who was promised a throne, but had to endure so much before he ever could get to that throne. And David said those powerful words, how long will you forget me forever? That is true desperation. That's the point in your life when you question God, Lord, have you forgotten me? We know the truth and the reality is that God loves us and He never leaves us and He never forsakes us. But I'm telling you this, you may come to a point in your life where the suffering and the desperation become so great that like David and like Job, you may say, why have you forgotten me? Could you imagine what it would be like to be in a place where you truly believed and you truly thought that God, the Creator of you, had forgotten you? David exalted this. Job exalted this. I think about Moses in his life. He felt these moments of desperation before he would be called of God to do great and mighty things. I think about Joseph, who did some wonderful and amazing things, but was at a point of desperation in his life, no doubt when his brother sold him off into slavery. Could you imagine the feelings that your own family members had sold you into bondage? I think about Paul and his life and in his ministry where so often he was left by himself to preach the Word and how that most of his episcopals were written from a prison cell. Imagine what that would feel like. And then I thought about Christ. We know how strong and how powerful that Christ is. He's the Son of God. But I thought about and thinking about the desperations of Christ, that verse in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. And He says there in the very last part, He says, my God, why have You forsaken Me? You see, Christ came to this earth and He literally hung on a cross and became sin for you and I. Now, because God is pure, and because God is holy, and because Christ is a part of God, His only begotten Son, there was no way that a holy God, through His Son Christ, could hang on a cross and literally become the sin of the world. So in order for Christ to be sin for man, God, His Father, had to turn His head from His Son. And Christ, much like Job, much like David, cried out these words because literally, whether you know it or not, Psalms chapter 22, David would say these very words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Christ literally, in that moment of His greatest suffering, was undoubtedly overwhelmed as He said these very words. If you look up the translation of that word, forsaken, it literally means abandonment. Christ is saying, my God, my Father, why have you abandoned me? We may feel moments and seasons like that in our life where we would say, my God, why have you abandoned me? All of these are examples of moments and seasons and time in our suffering where we feel utterly overwhelmed. But it gets better. Amen? It gets better. As much as the storms of suffering can overwhelm us, I think it's also important that we know and we understand this. Is that sometimes the storms and the suffering can drive us away from God. That's just a reality of things. It's a bad choice. It's a choice that I hope that you never make. But time and time throughout the Scriptures, through life, we see so many examples of people who in the midst of their suffering, in the midst of their greatest storms, rather than choosing to see God in His glory, they choose to see God as a persecutor and a condemner. They choose to see God as a vengeful God, rather than a God who is full of mercy and rather than a God who is full of grace. And rather than turn to God, they choose to turn against God and they choose to turn away from God. Anybody know who Ted Turner is? Amen. Yeah, some people know who Ted Turner is. He owned CNN at one time. I believe it was TBN. What was that other television station he owned? Yeah, they owned the Atlanta Braves. See, Ted Turner is a multi-billionaire, okay? And Ted Turner is a known critic of Christianity. As a matter of fact, Ted Turner used to be married to, what was it? Yeah, Jane Fonda. You guys are good. Most of us younger crowd, we have to think more about this, right? Yeah, you guys know who Jane Fonda is? Me barely either. Yeah, she used to be a very beautiful woman. Yeah, dance, yeah. Yeah, Diane can tell you all about it. She remembers that age. But Ted Turner blamed his divorce from Jane Fonda upon the fact that she became a born-again believer in Christ. In an interview that Ted Turner gave a number of years ago, back in the 90s, I was reading about it, he talked about the fact that he grew up in a Christian home and he was very faithful in his belief in God. All throughout his teenage years until he was 20 years of age. When he reached his 20s, he had a sister who was a little bit older than he was who died from a very rare form of lupus. And Ted Turner talked about how that every day for 2 years, without missing a day, every day for 2 years, he prayed 30 minutes of the day for his sister that God would heal her from her disease. And she died. And Ted Turner talked about how that moment in his life, through his suffering and the loss of his sister, and looking and seeing God as a God who would not save the life of his sister, rather than using that in a moment to see how that God is powerful and how that God has the ability to be merciful and mighty and grateful, Ted Turner took that opportunity to completely turn away from God and became and is still to this day an outspoken critic of those who choose to follow Christ. We go through things in our life sometimes that can drive us to the point of not wanting to have anything to do with God. In this story of Job, we see that. In Job chapter 40, verse 2, we see Job says this, God speaking to Job, he says, shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? He who argues with God, let him answer it. You see, starting there in chapter 30, Job was really crying out to God. And then Job begins to blame God for everything that he's going through. And one thing that you need to understand about the story of Job is this is not God testing Job. Amen? This is a story where Satan begins to sift the life of Job. God allowed it to happen. Yes, because God says, Job is a faithful believer in me, and even though you sift him, he'll still love me and he'll still be a servant of mine. You see, God isn't testing Job here in this story. Through the life of Job, what's going on? It's not about God and His persecution. It's not about God delivering His vengeance or His wrath. And Job begins to look at it as such, and he begins to question God and who that He is. And here was God's response. He says, shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? Something that we've got to remember in the midst of our suffering and our trials and our hardships is this. Is that God is always God and He is still perfect in every way and in everything. I didn't get nearly enough amens on that one. God is still perfect in every way. God says to Job, "Shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty?" Notice, He is the Almighty. He is the Almighty God. He is all-powerful. He is the one who is in all control. And now God says to Job, "Answer me my questions." After Job spent a chapter and a half questioning God, God says to Job in these two lines, "You answer mine." It's easy for us to blame God. It's easy for us to question God and everything about Him. It's easy for us to ask things like, "God, why do you allow thousands of people to die in tragedies and natural disasters every year? Why do you allow thousands to go hungry? Why do you allow evil to take place in the world?" I know this, my God is not a creator of evil. I know that evil exists in this world and I know that bad things happen. Guess what? Bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. The Word of God says it rains on the just as well as the unjust alike. Sometimes the storms that we suffer drive us away from God. Sometimes the storm that we suffer literally overwhelms us to the point of desperation and complete depression. But as we get ready to close, I want you to know this. Is sometimes life's greatest sufferings can lead to life's most enlightening moments. If you didn't hear anything else, I want you to listen to that as I read it again. Life's greatest suffering can sometimes lead us to life's most enlightening moments. See, Job became completely transformed by everything that he endured. Job chapter 42 verses 1 through 6, these were the words that Job shared. And Job answered the Lord and he said this. He says, "I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." He said, "Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know." He says, "Hear and I will speak. I will question you and make it known to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear." Now listen to this. Job says, "I heard of you," speaking to God, speaking about God. "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear." He says, "But now my eyes see you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." Job got to this point of overwhelming desperation, and it was to the point that he almost wanted to drive away from God. And here in these verses, Job says, "I had heard about you with my ears, but through my suffering, I see you." This is a man who has lost all of his wealth, his home, his property, his physical possessions. All 8 of his children died in one instance, gone. And through all of that struggle and through all of that suffering, in the end, Job was able to say, "I heard about you with my ears, but now through my suffering, I can see you with my eyes." It's one thing to hear about God. It's one thing to say that you know about God. But it's an entirely another thing when you can say that you have seen God through your suffering. That's powerful. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people in this world who like to say that through suffering nothing good can come of it. That's a terrible thought. I don't want to think that the suffering that I might endure in my life was for naught. the suffering that you're going through in your life, if that's God, don't answer it, brother. Thank you. Through the suffering that you're going through in your life, don't think it's for naught. I said this once and I'll say it again. There is no greater glory than to suffer for God. There is no greater glory than to suffer for God. We suffer for a lot of things in life, a lot of things that we choose to suffer for. But get this, if we can suffer for God and His glory and His kingdom, those are things that matter. You see, Job suffered for the glory of God. You see, in the end, Job lost his children for the glory of God. In the end, Job lost everything he had for the honor and the glory of God. You see, in the end, Christ suffered on the cross for one of life's most enlightening moments. How sad would it be if all of our suffering was to be of no good and for no great purpose? How sad would it be to think that Christ and His suffering meant nothing? That it was for nothing and it had no good purpose. Christ suffered for God. Christ suffered for God so that we, as the whole world, might go free. I think about men like Stephen in Acts chapter 7, verses 55 and 56. I'm just going to share a couple things with you and we're going to get ready to close. But he, speaking of Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Stephen, all of his life, had heard about God, preached about God, served God. And here's Stephen, as he is getting ready to be stoned to death, he looks up and says, "Behold, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." I think about Christ, as he said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." You know, sometimes it's our sufferings and the things that we endure in this life that helps us to clear and purify the heart so that we might see God. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, "Behold, He is coming with the clouds and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. And all of the tribes of the earth will wail on account of Him." Even so, amen. He is coming. We just celebrated last Sunday the fact that He is risen. I tell you this, He is coming. And one day every eye will see. Every eye will see. In the midst of your suffering, even though you may be overwhelmed, in the midst of your suffering, you may feel as if you're being driven away from God. But know this, God is in control and God is a God of mercy. God is a God of grace. God is a God of love. God is a God who loved this world so much He gave of His only begotten Son. If we believe in Him, we might be saved. Through our suffering, through our storms, let us see God. As our praise and our worship team comes, this is an opportunity for you here in just a moment for you to respond to this message. It's an opportunity, if you're here and you've never known Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is an opportunity for you to come and respond to that call. Maybe you're here today and you feel that overwhelming call and you know that you don't have Christ in your heart. You know that you've never formally asked Him. You've known of Him, but you've never really seen Him. You've never really invited Him into your heart. This is an opportunity where you can come and you can respond to that call. And I would love to share with you how you might invite Christ into your heart. You can bring somebody with you this morning. They'll be happy to share with you how that you might invite Christ into your heart. Maybe you're here and you're going through that season of suffering. You're in the midst of that storm where you feel the disparity. You feel the overwhelming sense of, "I don't know what to do and I don't know how I'm going to get through this." You may be at a point in your life where you feel like that God doesn't hear you and that God doesn't see you. And you might ask, "Why have You forsaken me? Why do You forget me?" I tell you this, through your suffering, see God. See God. Lord, as we close out this time of preaching, Lord, we come to a time of response. I pray, Lord, I pray if there's somebody here who's lost, Lord, I pray that they will come, that they'll give their heart and their life to You, Lord, that they'll be saved. Lord, I pray, and I know in my heart that there are people here who are suffering immensely. Lord, I know that there are people here right now who are suffering through things that nobody else really knows about. I know that there are people here who are dealing with things where there is really no way for us to compare and know the pain that they're enduring. But Lord, I pray for them. Lord, I uplift them, Father, that in the moments of their suffering, in this moment of their storm, Lord, I pray that they can cry out to You and know, and that they can see You. That they can know that You are God on the throne. That they can know that You love them. And that You have nothing but good thoughts toward them. And that, Lord, You can lead them through this season. Lord, Father, I pray that they'll come to this altar, Lord, and that they'll cry out their hearts unto You. Lord, I pray that You lead Your people this morning to come and to respond to Your Word. Father, it's all this we'll ask in Your holy, precious name. Amen.
Let's all stand together.